Great cooking doesn't have to be expensive. That's according to today's Food Friday guest. She's here to share some advice and recipes to help us cook on a budget.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have budget-friendly cooking advice to share or questions about how to do it? Call in at 800-642-1234.
Beth Monsell joins us now. She's the author of Budget Bites, over 100 easy, delicious recipes to slash your grocery bill in half, and founder of BudgetBites.com. Beth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, how did you get interested in budget-friendly cooking and sharing advice for others?
Well, it's kind of funny. It was all kind of by accident. This started 8 years ago. I had just graduated college and drowning in debt, like a lot of college graduates are. And I had pretty much whittled my budget down to bare bones, and there was only one area that I could cut back on, and that was food. But I really wasn't satisfied with the thought of eating beans every day or ramen noodles because I had just graduated with a degree in nutritional science. So I'm like, there's got to be a better way to do this. So I challenged myself to eat on less than $6 a day and started blogging about that journey and have continued ever since. Not necessarily $6 a day since, but the mission has continued for 8 years.
Well, like you said, I mean, it can seem as though your options get pretty limited. If you're looking at these beautiful cookbooks, like I love to look at, they're filled with, you know, Greek cheeses and herbs about all which I'll use maybe a tablespoon of and try to find use for the rest. I mean, can we cook that same quality, exciting food and still have it be cost effective?
Definitely. I think one of the main things that you have to consider is keep things simple. Food doesn't have to be complicated to be delicious or healthy. So if you stick to really simple ingredients, you can still get really flavorful food without having to buy, you know, 10 different items for one dish. And you can keep your budget really, really low that way.
And how do you come up with the recipes? Do you start with the basic food idea and then try to make it as inexpensive as possible? Or do you start with, you know, set yourself that budget and work backwards from there?
For me, I always start with what I'm craving, because if I don't crave it, then I'm not going to eat it, and then the food's going to end up in the garbage, and that's a lot of money down the drain. So I start with, hey, what do I feel like eating this week? I kind of look around at recipes, and then I do kind of try to whittle back the budget from there. I'm like, okay, what ingredients in this recipe make it expensive? And then I try to cut back or replace those ingredients with cheaper alternatives while still keeping the flavor.
Can you give us an example of one that you've been cooking recently?
Sure. Actually, yesterday I made some blackened shrimp tacos. And if you think about that recipe, it sounds like it's going to be expensive because shrimp are really expensive. But one of the things I do to design my recipes to be low cost is I balance the expensive ingredients with lower cost ingredients. So we have the expensive shrimp, which are going to be about $8 a pound. But I balance that with corn tortillas, which are super cheap, and a homemade coleslaw, and if you, you know, cabbage is like one of the cheapest things you can buy, and it's also really healthy. So you have a lot of inexpensive ingredients, a little bit of the expensive flavorful ingredients, and then you still have a great meal for a very low cost.
Is that a pretty common tactic you use where you've got an expensive thing, which is often going to be the meat or seafood in this case, and have that in as kind of a flavor ingredient instead of having big chunks of it?
Exactly. And a lot of times what I do with meat is I will cut back to half the amount of meat that people would normally use and substitute in beans or lentils in their place. So you're still getting a lot of protein, but you're getting more fiber, and they definitely cost less per pound.
And you also want your recipes to be not just, you know, budget friendly, but you want them to be pretty simple to make. Can you talk about why you pair those two things?
Well, I think one of the reasons people don't know how to cook these days is because they just don't have time to learn. So you have to have things that you can prepare in 30 to 60 minutes at the end of the day. But I also try to teach people to cook maybe one or two times a week and then eat those leftovers throughout the week. So what I do when I cook a big batch of something is I'll put one or two servings in the freezer, and then I have a rotating stock of dishes that I can just pull out of the freezer and microwave on nights where I'm just so busy or so tired that I can't even cook.
We're talking to Beth Monsell. She's the founder of BudgetBites.com, author of the book Budget Bites. She says we can eat and cook tasty food, and it doesn't have to cost a lot. And Beth, in your recipes, you don't see this very often on recipes, you've got the overall cost, and you break down the cost by ingredient. Is that kind of a nice warning sign for us to help keep track of our cooking budget?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone's costs are going to be different around the country, and even week to week prices change, but it helps people see the way each ingredient impacts the overall cost. So you see, if you use feta cheese, that's a super expensive ingredient, but that's why I only use 1 to 2 ounces for an entire recipe, not just a serving. So you still get that flavor, but you're going to keep your costs restrained.
You mentioned that you have stuff in your freezer for when you're tired and you've got a pantry. What are some of those staples that we should have and should freeze?
I love to have a variety of frozen vegetables on hand because that way all the prep is done. They're usually always chopped. Nutritionally, they're very great. I mean, they don't usually don't have any extra sauces or anything. You just have to make sure you look on the label. But they reheat really quickly, and you can toss them into soups and stews and pasta to up the nutritional value of whatever you're eating. I also like to keep my meat in the freezer. So what I do is if I see a meat that's on sale, or that's reduced price because if it's a larger quantity, I'll buy that, divide it up, freeze it, so I can take out a little bit of time for each meal that I'm having.
Let's get into one of the recipes. You shared a couple of what you said were some of your most popular recipes with us. One of them is Spanish chickpeas and rice. We've got this at WPR.org, by the way, and linked on the Central Time Facebook page. And I understand this is one you'd had trouble trying to replicate paella. And this isn't paella, but it's in that same ballpark.
Yeah, definitely. And this is also a great recipe because it's vegan. And it's one of those recipes where people don't realize they're eating vegan. It's just naturally that way, but it's still super flavorful. You've got your beans and your rice, so you're going to be really full, and you've got all your proteins, fiber. It's a great dish. You've got a squeeze of fresh lemon on there at the end, which really makes the flavors pop. It's awesome.
And how does it keep over the week if you make kind of a big batch?
That just keeps very well. I find rice and beans keep great for, you know, 4 or 5 days. Again, I would probably stick a serving or two in the freezer. You want to keep the lemon separate while you're reheating it and then just squeeze it over top afterwards. But other than that, it's going to stay great.
And that one, you're using canned chickpeas. And I got to say, for a while, I was like, oh, I've got to do it from, you know, dry beans and soak them and cook them. And it takes hours. And I've definitely come over, for the most part, to the canned bean side of thing because, you know, I'm not always thinking ahead that far, and I want to make something that I can eat in 40 minutes, not tomorrow.
Right, and I think that's important, too, is you have to balance it for your lifestyle. One of the things I do with beans, though, when I do have a chance to cook them from dry, is I will put them in the freezer. If you keep them in the cooking liquid and then freeze them that way, like in a refillable plastic container, it's almost like having canned beans because you can just pull it out of the freezer, defrost it really quick, you can run water over it in the colander, and then you've got your beans ready to go. So that's a great option. And using a slow cooker to cook beans makes it really easy.
Do you think that the slow-cooked beans or the non-canned beans taste better than canned beans?
It just depends. You know, sometimes I actually prefer the canned chickpeas over fresh because they do have a little bit of salt in the liquid and it just kind of makes them taste good. But other times I like the slow-cooked or home-cooked beans just because they don't have that extra kind of muddy flavor in the background. It really just depends on your preferences.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Kyle is with us in Racine. Kyle, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was just calling in to talk about how much money I've learned to save with using neglected vegetables, so vegetables that people don't really use that often, so things like collard greens, mustard greens, turnip greens, rutabagas, turnips, all that kind of stuff that, you know, isn't very glamorous, but, you know, they all taste great, very nutritional. And you can find them for, you know, you can find a bundle of turnip greens for like 99 cents at the store. And, yeah, so
Kyle,
yeah, thanks. Finding things that people don't use that much.
Kyle, thanks for that suggestion. Beth, using those neglected vegetables, Kyle says.
Yeah, and, you know, another reason those particular vegetables are going to be really cheap is not just because they're neglected, but they're very shelf-stable. So I always recommend to people stick to those hearty vegetables, not the ones that are going to be really soft and spoil easily, because the ones that have a longer shelf life are naturally just going to have a lower cost.
And we're talking right now to Beth Monsell, author of Budget Bites, and she's sharing easy and budget-friendly recipes and cooking advice.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have some advice to share on saving money in the kitchen? What kind of dishes have you come up with that everyone likes, but don't cost too much? Or do you have a question for our guest about how to do this yourself? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post and find a couple of our guest recipes on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in a little bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're talking to food writer Beth Monsell, the author of Budget Bites. And she's telling us how to make great food on a budget.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about cooking on a budget, or do you have some advice of your own to share? Have you found a good way to save money on your cooking? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post and find some recipes on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take our first caller. We have Adam with us in Glendale. Adam, hi.
Yes, hi. I run a small concrete countertop business in Glendale, and I'm always in the shop, and all I have is a microwave. So I'll take ramen noodles. Have done a lot of things. They have home-style noodles, different ramen noodles. So I'll take a can of, like, chunky soup and mix it with the ramen noodles. Or today I'm mixing some leftover lasagna that I had with the ramen noodles. And it tastes awesome, and I've never seen anybody do it.
Interesting. Okay, Adam, thanks for that. And Beth, what do you think about a technique like that, combining foods like this?
I love it. I think it's great when people do whatever they need to do and what works for them, because it's going to be different for everyone. Even though I said I don't want to eat ramen noodles every day, there is a lot of really cool stuff that you can do with them. And I like to upgrade my ramen noodles. So instead of putting like a can of soup, I'll just take whatever leftover vegetables I have in my refrigerator, whether it be like a handful of spinach or some leftover mushrooms, and toss that into the ramen noodles. And instantly, it's a whole meal. I like to put an egg in there a lot of times, too, for some extra protein. And it's super cheap.
Thanks for the suggestion. We'll go now to Sharon in Minocqua. Sharon, hi.
Hi. Another great program. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I grew up in the South. I'm from New Orleans, and we had kind of a ritual of having Monday was like either red beans and rice or black-eyed peas, and those beans are so inexpensive. But most of the time in the South, they're cooked with salted pork. So to forego the salted pork, I've made a recipe just using, especially with black-eyed peas, it's now my favorite to use curry. And, of course, with any bean dish, you can't make a small batch. You have to make a giant batch. So you have lots of leftovers, and the leftovers get to taste better and better as the longer they get to kind of sit in the juices. So black-eyed peas are so inexpensive, and even the organic versions of the black-eyed peas are not that expensive. But there's ways to cook without the salt, without the meat and the pork and stuff. But,
Sharon, thanks a lot for the call. I want to bring Beth, and this hits close to home for you, right, Beth? You're in New Orleans yourself, is that right?
Yeah, I am, and I have taken a lot of cues from the culture down here as far as making inexpensive meals. I love the idea of making, you know, the beans without the pork. I've done that as well. One of the ways I substituted the salted pork in my red beans, I made a vegan version, is I used smoked paprika to mimic that salty smoked pork flavor. And then I added a little bit of coconut oil because it's got that nice saturated fat that kind of tastes like an animal fat. And so you've got all those flavors in there without using the salted pork. And that was a really cool thing.
And that begs the question, is it cheaper to just eat without the meat, to eat at least semi-vegetarian?
Yeah, most of the time it is. I mean, I can't lie. You know, if you think about most meats, they're going to be in the, you know, $4 to $6 range for the cheaper meats, $4 to $6 per pound. And vegetables are running, you know, $1 to $2 a pound. And beans, they're going to be less than $1 a pound. So it definitely is cheaper to cut out the meat. But I enjoy meat, so I do work a little bit in. But I probably eat 50 to 75% vegetarian.
That said, the other recipe we've got up on the Central Time Facebook page, you've got a one-pot sausage and sun-dried tomato pasta, and that's using a little bit of Italian sausage, again, a little bit as flavor to go a long way there.
Yeah, and that's another great recipe because it's a one-pot skillet pasta, so it's really easy to make on a weeknight, and what you're actually doing is cooking the pasta in a broth with the other ingredients, so the pasta really absorbs all the flavors in the dish, and it's super fast. You've got one dish to clean. It's just the perfect weeknight meal.
and that's up on the Central Time Facebook page, along with the recipe for Spanish chickpeas and rice. And we're talking now with Beth Monsell, author of Budget Bites, over 100 easy, delicious recipes to slash your grocery bill in half. And she's also the founder of BudgetBites.com. And we take our caller now. We've got Mary joining us in Milwaukee. Mary, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say, when I would prep my lunches for a week, I would just add a pound of ground beef to the old-fashioned favorite of green bean casserole that most people make at Thanksgiving. And it basically makes a lunch for a couple of weeks, and it's freezable.
Oh, good idea, Mary. And there's another one, adding an ingredient, and you've got something a little more hearty. How about that, Beth?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, and I love the fact that she makes them 2 weeks ahead of time so that she really cuts down on the prep work, because that's really what holds a lot of people back.
Mary, thanks a lot for that call, and we'll go next to Rich with us in Viola. Rich, hi.
Hello. Yes, I would like to suggest joining a CSA. That gives you an opportunity to actually buy some vegetables that then can pre-design your meals, and every week you get a different basket full of different vegetables. And, of course, they're fantastically fresh, they're organic, and they're also, locally grown. So lots of times when you look at the economics of what it costs for those vegetables, you're paying a lot less, of course, for transportation, and you're actually paying the farmer that grows it rather than all the different people in between the farmer and you.
Rich, thanks a lot for that call. And Beth, that reminds me, cooking with the seasons, using the veggies that are available at that time of year, I imagine you can come out a lot cheaper.
Oh, yes, absolutely. In addition to seasonal cooking, like the caller was saying, things that are grown in your area, because they have less distance to go, they're going to be cheaper just because the transportation costs are less. So keep those two things in mind. Well, actually, three things when you're looking at vegetables and fruit and other produce is you want things that are hearty and not going to spoil fast, things that are grown close to you, and things that are in season. And if you look for all those three things, you're going to get the best price for your produce.
And Beth, does it pay to buy things in giant batches? And if you find, if you go to one of the stores that sells in bulks, you can buy a ginormous case of beans or something, or rice. Does it pay to do that, or do you end up kind of getting tired of that ingredient?
It really depends on what types of things you cook the most. I do a lot of rice, so I do generally buy rice in large quantities. And then it depends on your storage. For a long time I lived in a one-room apartment, so I didn't have storage, so it wouldn't make sense for me. So it really is a case-by-case basis, and always double-check the prices, because a lot of times at those big bulk stores, they might be a big package, but the price is exactly the same. So it depends item to item and person to person.
Rich, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Beth, the idea of making a big batch of stuff and eating it over the course of a week has come up a couple times, and I've done that. And I got to say, day three, day four, a little bit of burnout starts to set in. I'm like, really? Again, with that stuff, it was good. But how do you beat that?
Yep. So that happens to me, too. But like I said, when I cook a big batch, I'll always stick just a couple of servings pre-portioned in the freezer. So when I get to that day three and I'm getting sick of what I cooked that week, I can change it up by grabbing something out of the freezer and get a little variety in my week, so I don't totally get sick of what I've cooked.
And Beth, can you share something else that's been inspiring you recently with your cooking that you wanted to create on a budget?
I'm always really inspired by dishes from around the world. There are so many incredible flavors in other cultures, and they're becoming more and more available in the U.S., and I think that's really fun. So stores like Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, they really make those products available, so I can experiment more with flavors and different dishes, and that's been really fun for me for the past couple of years.
And then are you inspired a lot along that vein by your local food in New Orleans?
Yeah, a lot. We have a really good melting pot of cultures here now. It's not just the Cajun and Creole. We have a lot of Vietnamese, so I love dabbling in their flavors. We have a large Hispanic population, and I absolutely love their cooking as well. So it definitely has influenced my recipes.
And we've got another caller on the line. We've got Hillary at 800-642-1234. Hillary is joining us right now from Dubuque. Hillary, hi.
Hi, what a great program. I have three suggestions. One, buy a slow cooker. Make it your best friend, because that way you can buy the cheapest cuts of meat. Usually, time and liquids make all the difference with a cheap cut of meat, and you can make it taste much more expensive and flavorful than it would otherwise. Two, if you have windows wherever you live, you can do window box gardening, even on the inside, and you can grow fresh herbs. Make fresh herbs your friends, because they're incredibly expensive if you buy them in little precious boxes in your produce department. You can grow them pennies for packets of seeds and have fresh herbs. And then the third point is spices, dried spices. You can buy them in big bottles, cinnamon, cumin, coriander, and make spices, dried commercial ground spices to your friends.
Hillary, some great ideas there. Slow cooker, that's slow cookers have been catching on again in the past several years. She says buying cheap cuts of meat and window box garden for your herbs, growing your own herbs and dried spices. What do you think of those tips, Beth?
I absolutely love my slow cooker. And one thing that people should know is that you don't have to get a really fancy, expensive slow cooker with timers and pre-programs. My slow cooker costs, I think, less than $25, and it has three settings, low, high, and warm. And it has done me well for, 15 years. It's great, like I said, for cooking beans effortlessly. Like she said, the meat, I absolutely love slow cooked meat. There's so many things you can do with a slow cooker, and it's great for big batches for when you do want to put things in the freezer and save for later. So, yes, that is my one appliance that I recommend to everybody.
Beth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Beth Monsell, author of Budget Bites, over 100 easy, delicious recipes to slash your grocery bill in half. She's the founder of BudgetBites.com. You can check out two of her recipes, Spanish chickpeas and rice, and one-pot sausage and sun-dried tomato pasta. We've got those over at WPR.org, and you can find a direct link on the Central Time Facebook page.